to people, over time, they're very likely to abuse it. Remember, the richest country in the history of man in peacetime has assembled a debt larger than any in history. And it is getting to the place.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Millions of Americans next year. USA's Russ Jones talked with a 36-year-old insurance expert who maintained some customers could see their premiums double or even triple.
Larry Davis, owner of an independent insurance brokerage firm, Larry Davis Insurance in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, contends there is no doubt Obamacare is helping a lot of people, but it's at the expense of hardworking taxpayers.
Their help comes in the form of tax credits to pay the premium and reduce the premium, and unfortunately, you and I get to pay their premium for them.
And while a Supreme Court ruling on federal subsidies for health insurance is uncertain, Davis predicts several unfortunate consequences for Obamacare consumers.
They're going to see lower benefits, which means that their out-of-pocket expense goes up when they access medical services. They're going to see fewer doctors available because the doctors are dropping out of the networks left and right. And they're going to see much higher premiums.
A scenario that contradicts the theory that government-run health insurance is more affordable.
The Affordable Health Care Act is totally unaffordable. I have many clients, small business owners just like me, that are seeing some staggering rate increases.
Davis adds that insurance companies working in the exchange programs are losing money on claims paid versus premiums collected. I'm Russ Jones.
I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
On today's program, I'll be talking about what 12 entrepreneurs learned from their dads, how to use Instagram for your business, the three key elements to make your business a success, an update on Brian Williams, and why a white woman had to resign as president of a local NAACP chapter. What? Plus, a huge announcement at 12:15 from me you won't want to miss. It's Thursday, June 18th, 2015. I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. But before we get going, a brief check of the weather shows the temperature is currently 64 drizzly degrees at 12:04, and today we'll see showers early. Tonight there is a risk of a few thunderstorms and a high of 76 degrees, a low of 63. Tonight's also graduation night at Bridgewater Raritan, so looking forward to that as my youngest son, Colin, will be graduating and then heading off to the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. For tomorrow, the heat continues with partly sunny skies and warmer temperatures, a high of 86 and a low of 54. Saturday will be turning cloudy throughout the day and humid with rain beginning in the evening and a high of 80 degrees with a low of 67. And for Sunday, we can expect heavy rain and a thunderstorm possible with a high of 82 and a low of 68. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is up 202.16 to 18,137.90. The NASDAQ up 69.29 to 5134.11. S&P 500 up 19.94 to 2121.29. Oil is up 53 cents to $60.45 per barrel. And gold is up $27.90 to $1,204.30 per ounce. Well, as we do every time this year, during the program, I always like to bring you up to speed on what's been going on over the last week. And it's been a very crazy week in my house and around my neighborhood. I mentioned earlier, I'm going to have to leave the office a little early today to watch my son Colin graduate high school from Bridgewater Raritan, hoping for an outdoor graduation, but they'll make that decision by 3 o'clock. So I got a good feeling I'm going to be stuck in a gym that's going to be about 800 degrees with 700 students and their families. And then Colin gets about 75 days off, and then he heads down to UNC Charlotte, where he'll be a freshman in the fall term. So looking forward to that. During the show last week, it was kind of crazy because my phone kept buzzing, and I wasn't really sure why. And then during one of the breaks, I finally looked at it, and I got a text message from my next-door neighbor. And he said, "Do you have any idea why there's 8 police cars behind your house as well as a crime scene unit truck?" And I said, "Nope." And tragically, what we have learned over the course of the past week is that a 26-year-old young man died of a heroin overdose in the woods behind my house, which borders the Bradley Garden School there. And then in talking with the police later, because there wasn't an immediate identification, it took about 3 or 4 days. By Tuesday, we found out the name of the individual. He was a 26-year-old male, and apparently he had been in the woods for over a month. And it was a little disheartening to know that someone had died, 500 feet behind your back door, and that you had no clue that they were there. It's not a woods that I generally go into very often, but there it was. And so a very tragic event happening, very close to me, within 500 feet of our house, which brings up another point, and that's something that I think every town, every county, this state, and just about every state in the country has to start looking into and spending a little bit more time and money on, and that is the increased incidences of heroin overdoses, and all drug overdoses, but in particular heroin seems to be the drug of choice right now. Right now, since 2011, heroin overdoses have increased by over 400% in the state of New Jersey, and that is an alarming figure. And here in Hunterdon County, I know that it's a very prevalent drug. Usually you'll hear about 1 or 2 overdoses a year. I know Chris Phelan, who runs the chamber here and is also on the rescue squad, was talking about the drug Narcan, I believe, that is being used in the event of overdoses to prevent death. But we can't be playing Russian roulette, both the users and the rescue personnel, with the fact that we're always going to have a rescue squad that has the emergency drugs on board and can administer them and save a life in the final seconds. It's just too close and too risky for the user, and unfortunately it's too tragic for the rescuer when it doesn't work. So I think that's an area that government and local agencies and school districts and neighbors have to start looking into and seeing what we can do to eradicate this problem. And say what you want about Nancy Reagan, but I think sometimes that campaign "Just Say No" hit it on the head, and maybe we need to go back to that and start at a very, very young age, like preschool, warning kids about the use of dangerous drugs, just like they did when I was a kid. We've brought back Brenda Lee, which can only mean one thing. Somebody has to say they're sorry, and this time it's going to be Brian Williams from NBC. Now, Brian Williams has reached an agreement with NBC that will keep him at the network, but not on NBC Nightly News, according to a new report. Williams was suspended in February when it became apparent that he had lied about his involvement in a story where he said a helicopter that he was riding in was shot down in the Iraq War. Other facts about stories he covered soon came into question, and NBC issued his suspension for 6 months. The Wall Street Journal reports that Lester Holt will be announced as the new permanent anchor of NBC Nightly News. Lester will be the first African-American male solo anchor in Nightly News history on any network. CNN's Brian Stelter reports the tentative agreement will keep Williams at NBC after his six-month suspension is lifted in August, but that he will play an undetermined role, with right now hints being that he will start to anchor news programs on MSNBC. Holt, who this week is being replaced by Savannah Guthrie in the anchor chair, is reportedly seeking to match Williams' $10 million salary. Me, personally, I would do it for just $5 million, just saying. Williams' new role at NBC, like I said, is unknown. Even the most executives at NBC, according to the new CNN report, don't know where Williams will end up. The company is expected to make a formal announcement soon. Could anything get more screwed up at the Peacock Network? I don't think so. Luckily, we only had to play Brenda Lee's I'm Sorry Just Once this week. Wait a minute. We're playing it twice.
I'm sorry.
So somebody else had to screw up. Here we go again. Well, this week, the president of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP has resigned. And there was really no scandal to speak of that forced her resignation. She didn't steal money or have a salacious affair with a politician. Now, the problem here is that while representing a chapter of an organization that fights for the rights of black people, Ms. Dolezal was actually white, being born to parents of German, Czech, and Dutch descent. So if Bruce Jenner can be considered transgender, does this make Ms. Dolezal transracial? Interesting question. When you look at her yearbook pictures, there isn't a whiter woman on the planet, and yet for 10 years she was able to masquerade as a black woman, which makes me question the vetting process of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP. Now, don't you think at some point while she was interviewing for the job, someone would have asked the question, by the way, are you African-American? No, they didn't. They just hired her, they paid her for 10 years, and then they let her do her thing for 10 years as a black woman wannabe. What a setback for that organization. And you can call this, if you want to turn this into a taking care of business topic, you can call this a lesson in the importance of the vetting process, the interviewing process. You've got to do your due diligence and make sure that the person that you're hiring is who they say they are, and I'm sure there'd be some way that you can vet this out and do background checks. But, you know, her parents have come out and said, you know, she's whiter than white. We're both white, so why is there any discussion further on this? I'm not going to turn this into a white versus black issue. It's just from a hiring standpoint, it just seems odd that for 10 years this was allowed to go on and nobody questioned it. So interesting. When I heard it, you know, when someone said that the president of the NAACP is retiring and or resigning, and it was even in the Spokane, Washington area, the first question that came to mind was, what happened? Did they steal money? Was there some sort of that salacious affair, like I mentioned? And it kept coming back as no, 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 no. And then when I finally got the facts and I realized what it was, I was just blown away that that this could happen in this day and age. But there it was for all to see. Now step away and take a break. When we come back, I have a major announcement that you're not going to want to miss. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com. homeinstead.com/325.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, hunterdonchamber.org, for more information today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is offering chamber members ways to find new customers during this difficult economic environment with the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program. The Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program is a direct mail program which targets new homeowners and renters shortly after they move into the Hunterdon County area. The new resident program offers limited advertising space on a first-come, first-placed program and provides new residents with ongoing access to member ads and promotions through online web links. This ad program is only available to members of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, so act quickly to reserve your space today. For more information on the Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Program, visit www.hunterdon.chambermail.us or contact Hunterdon County Chamber Mail Representative at 1-800-267-3139 or email at adinquiry@chambermail.us.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, with you for the next 45 minutes or so as we talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in Flemington, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Okay, we know on the Democratic side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton is running for president, as is Lincoln Chafee, Martin O'Malley, Bernie Sanders, and possibly Joe Biden and Jim Webb. The Republican side is very crowded, and when it comes time for debates, they're going to need an extra large stage, possibly with two rows, as Jeb Bush announced his candidacy earlier this week. Donald Trump said he was running, along with Rick Perry, Lindsey Graham, George Pataki, Rick Santorum, Bobby Jindal, Mike Huckabee, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Marco Rubio, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Scott Walker should be announcing soon, as will John Kasich. Sarah Palin may announce that she's going to run. And New Jersey's own Chris Christie, inside sources tell me, will announce in a week or two. Now, you heard that here first on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. So as any red-blooded American should do, I check to make sure that all of the qualifications have been met. Now, you must be at least 35 years of age and a natural-born citizen and a resident of the United States for at least 14 years. Check, check, and check. Therefore, today I announce that I, James E. Gano III, am running for President of the United States. Why not? Everybody else is. My platform is simple. We're going to create jobs, lower taxes, suspend foreign aid until we fix America first. We will fix all bridges and roadways, close our borders until we can sort out our current immigration mess, and once and for all, we will renew our space program and once again be the leaders in space exploration. We will put an end to welfare. We will help only the most deserving individuals who need it. All others must get a job. We will make it so that having a job is more advantageous than collecting unemployment. We will reform the education system so that students are being taught how to learn and work and not just how to take a test. We will once again have the strongest military and train our soldiers for not only their military jobs, but for civilian jobs when they return from service. We will fight all enemies, foreign and domestic, and we will do so with the fury of God's own thunder. It will be swift, it will be exact, and it will be unforgiving.
We will restore the pride in America. We will put the pledge back in our classrooms, and we will make this country the leader in technology, education, and the economy. We will rid Washington, D.C. of do-nothing, blowhard rich politicians and replace them with people who have a good deal of common sense, that genuinely care about our country and their states, and they put America first. We will be the greatest country in the world once again, so I'm asking you to vote for me, Jim Gano. Thank you. Now, with that in mind, our first speech of the year. I had posted this on Facebook on Sunday, and a lot of people said, you have to include this on your show this week. And I thought, being that I've just announced my candidacy that and it deals with patriotism, that it made sense to do so. So this was posted on Sunday, which was Flag Day. And I wrote, today is Flag Day. And some towns are having concerts and others celebrations where they have never had them before. But today, for some reason, in the year 2015, they have decided that we should celebrate our flag. And that's a good thing. But why one day and why just this year? Now, every day since I've owned my house and every day when my father owned his, we have flown a flag in front of our house with pride. Pride in the fact that we are American, pride in our military, and pride in our elected leaders whom we may not always agree with but are allowed to disagree with because we are Americans. We don't fly the flag just on Memorial Day, on Flag Day, on Independence Day, and Veterans Day as if it were a special holiday decoration like the Easter Bunny, a pumpkin, or Rudolph, but every day. I remember after 9/11, everywhere you looked, there was an American flag flying. On bridge overpasses, on trucks and cars, on homes and buildings, sports teams put them on their uniforms, at least for 6 months anyway. When those flags became tattered, instead of buying new ones and replacing them, people took them down, but they did not replace them. A shame, really, that so many people only think of the flag on certain days or in times of national crisis. Many schools have actually stopped having their students say the Pledge of Allegiance so as not to offend anyone. Stupid. Why can't people go to a sporting event where someone will sing the Star-Spangled Banner and show reverence and allegiance by shutting up for the 1 minute and 48 seconds it takes to sing the song without shouting over it? Stupid and disrespectful. During those events, I choose to stare at the flag, say a prayer of thanks, and shut my mouth. I think of our flag and the sacrifices made by those men and women that allow me to fly it every day. My father, my uncles, my grandparents, and for some of you, your family members who have served as well. I look at it, and if need be, I unfurl it from the flagpole on my house. I replace it yearly with a new one and drop it off to the Boy Scouts or veteran groups who will dispose of it properly. I show it respect, and I want to choke those individuals who choose to desecrate and burn it because they say it is their right under freedom of speech. In my book, those who do that to our flag also have the freedom to leave. So enjoy Flag Day. Enjoy the concerts, the picnics, the fireworks, and other celebrations. But do me a favor. Don't put the flag away when the day is done. Continue to display it tomorrow and every day after that. Remember what it stands for and do it with pride. And you can sign me, proud to be an American, Jim Gano. So that was the post on Sunday. I hope you enjoyed it as it pertains to Flag Day. I hope that you will consider voting for me as president. You can write me in. None of the candidates currently running will be selected as my vice president. I have someone special picked for that, and we'll let you know as we get closer. So it's time to go back to our shop and use our sign shop to start printing up my campaign banners and T-shirts and everything like that, and we'll let you know where you can find more information on my candidacy in the coming weeks. Well, there was a great article the other day as we head towards Father's Day, and it was what 12 entrepreneurs learned from their amazing dads. Now, Father's Day, as I mentioned, is coming up this week, so in tribute to Dad, I thought we would share what some of the top entrepreneurs learned from their dads over the years. And inspiration always has a source. And for these entrepreneurs, the number one source is their father, the guy who taught them the basics of business. And for each one, think about how your own father provided similar guidance. The first, one of the many valuable lessons I learned from my father was the simple yet powerful message to never, ever give up. After my mother passed away, my father, who was a practicing lawyer in India, moved my family to Canada. They didn't accept his credentials, so he worked as a law clerk for 20 years to support his family. Once we were grown, he went back to law school and became a practicing lawyer at the age of 60. His tenacity to stick with it when the going gets tough and to always go after your dreams guides me in both personal and professional ways, and I attribute a large part of Actience's success to that principle. That's from Kalish Abwani, the CEO of Actience. The second person writes, and this is from Mona Bijor, who's the founder and CEO of Jor, my dad had a condo that he wanted to sell in the early 90s, and he brought me along to help pitch it. I was in seventh grade, but I ended up doing most of the talking and helped to sell it at a very good price. My dad taught me how to read people and find middle ground when selling, and I still use those lessons today. He always said when selling that no just means not right now. You have to figure out how to read people to get yes right now. The third person is Nick Hedges, who's the CEO of Velocify. Every night when I sat down to dinner, my dad asked the same question. What did you achieve today? It's a simple question that I always answered and never thought much about. But looking back, it was that question that most shaped the professional that I am today. The question made me paranoid, but in a good way. I never settled for a good try or my best shot or anyone else's for that matter. As a result, I have and will always continue to focus on the achievement of a specific goal rather than the journey of how I got there. The fourth person is Joan Day, who's the president of ProMedica. My father inspired me by taking a page out of Vince Lombardi's playbook and always provided me with the advice, plan your work and work your plan. The key to achieving success is to organize, focus, and execute the plan, and I still lean on this advice on a daily basis to this day. Mohit Aaron, who's the CEO and founder at Cohesity, says, my father was a forest officer during my childhood in India. A key life lesson I learned from him is to always persist, even in the face of tough odds, to never give up. This has inspired me to set ambitious goals and not back down from setbacks in business, but could also pertain to one's personal life. The sixth CEO who mentions their father is giving him great advice is Mike Mysiag, who's the CEO of or COO of Altascale. He said, early in his father's career, he was the food service director at the University of Pittsburgh. When I was growing up, he told me the story of how one day the president of the university office called for a sandwich and was told, no, we only serve trays of sandwiches, not individual sandwiches. My father later received an agitated phone call from the president, during which the president explained, I didn't ask what it cost. I told your guys what I want. You are in the service business. Find a way to do it. Tell me what it cost, and let me make the decision. The lesson my father learned was passed on to me that I use to this day is, always start with yes, and then discuss what it will take to make it happen. The seventh principle is from Andy Curry, who's the founder of Girls Never Who Swear. As a little girl, my father insisted that only the ignorant swore, because it was for a lack of a more comprehensive vocabulary that they resorted to a simple four-letter option. I grew up and became a communications professional and realized my dad was wrong. Sometimes there was no better word. I launched Girls Who Swear to give people some options when it comes to expressing yourself in a note. It's just cards now, but I am excited to build the brand and develop more products that allow people to say just what they are thinking. The eighth person is Jonathan Gall, who's the CEO of New Voice Media. Of his father, he said, one of the most valuable lessons my father taught me was that if you really want something and are prepared to work for it, 9 times out of 10, you'll reach your goal. That message never really resonated with me as a child, but as an adult, I understand exactly what he meant. As a CEO of a high-growth technology company, I need both vision for my business and the relentless desire to pursue it as vigorously as I can. I attribute a large part of New Voice Media's success to the never-give-up principle I learned from my father. Gautam Kura, who's the co-founder of VP of Product at Glint, says, my father dedicated his career as a surgeon to helping the poor in rural and underserved areas of India. One of the greatest lessons he imparted to me was the value of leading a mission-driven life. Our mission at Glint is to help organizations thrive by enabling their people to be happier and more effective at work. Keeping this top of mind brings a certain immediate clarity to decisions, both tactical and strategic, that cuts through uncertainty and reframes the world in terms of opportunities to do good. The 10th person is Charlie Good, who's the CTO, Chief Technical Officer, and co-founder of Wowza. My dad always said that a long journey always starts with the first step. Don't get intimidated by the length of the journey. Just get started and then keep moving. That has led me to adopt a crawl, walk, run strategy in how I attack problems. Jason Rose, who's the Senior Vice President of Marketing at DataSift, says, seeing my father deliver his sermon every Sunday with compassion and understanding for people in their time of need instilled a fearless presentation style in my own work. My father was also an avid marathon runner, and he passed along a competitive edge that gave me the balance to be the family man and leader that I am today. And finally, Kumar Ramachandran, who's the CEO and founder of CloudGenix, says, when I was leaving for college, I asked my father for a new bike. He said that he would either buy me a new bike or instead buy me my first computer. He noted that the bike would be great for transportation as well as to save time on my commute to classes and to meet up with friends, but with a computer, I might learn skills that could lead me to new interests and perhaps new opportunities. I took my father's advice and got the computer, and he was right. Computers and programming quickly became my passion and sent me down a new path. Today, I continue to push myself and now my daughter to try new things. I am still an avid cyclist, but as I reflect on my life today, the success I've had in the computer industry, the courage to leave a comfortable role to found a startup in networking, can all be traced to that moment when my dad gave me a choice that was much bigger than a bike or a computer. So some great advice from 12 dads. Hopefully you can take something out of that. There were some great lessons in there when I read that, and hopefully you'll enjoy them too. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. We'll be right back.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. A gunman is still on the loose in Charleston, South Carolina, after he opened fire at an historic black church and killed six women and three men, including the pastor. Police Chief Gregory Mullen says the suspect should not be approached.
Call law enforcement if you recognize the individual or the car so that we can take the appropriate action to address this situation.
His picture is on our website at usaheadlinenews.com, but now the FBI has identified him as 21-year-old Dylan Roof. He sat in the church Bible study for an hour before opening fire. The attack is being investigated as a hate crime.
The Department of Justice has opened a hate crime investigation into this shooting incident. The FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshals Service, Civil Rights Division, and the U.S. Attorney's Office are working closely with our state and local partners.
That was Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who just held a news conference. This is USA Headline News.
Hello, gorgeous. Bare Minerals just won its 10th Glammy Award for Best Prestige Foundation. And to celebrate, we're offering risk-free trials of Bare Minerals makeup to all women nationwide. That's right. Every woman who calls right now can get a full-size risk-free trial of Bare Minerals makeup, plus a free 5-piece makeup set. For yours, call 1-800-936-1480. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. Bare Minerals Foundation gives you flawlessly beautiful coverage with a no-makeup feel, and it's clinically proven to promote clearer, healthier-looking skin. No wonder it's won 10 Glammys in a row, and now you can try Bare Minerals makeup for yourself. Call now to find out how you can participate in our nationwide risk-free trial and join the millions who've already tried Bare Minerals makeup and fallen in love with their skin again. Plus, we'll send you a free 5-piece makeup set, our gift to you. Hurry, don't miss this exclusive radio-only offer. 1-800-936-1480. 1-800-936-1480.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime.
Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inchamberradio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, saying hello to all the Crown Trophies listening in out there. Today, we will see showers early today with the risk of a few thunderstorms and a high of 76 degrees with a low of 63. Currently 66 degrees at 100 in Chamber Radio. For tomorrow, the heat continues with partly sunny skies and warmer temperatures, a high of 86 and a low of 54. Saturday will be turning cloudy throughout the day and humid with rain beginning in the evening at a high of 80, a low of 67. And for Sunday, we can expect heavy rain and a thunderstorm possible with a high of 82 and a low of 68 degrees. Still drizzling out there right now, and as I mentioned, it's 66 degrees. I wonder if now that I have announced my candidacy for president, if I get Secret Service protection. Got to look into that one. Well, the next topic we're going to talk about is how to use Instagram for business. And consider this, if you will, a beginner's guide. Now, if you're listening to this story, then you may be aware of one fundamental thing. The photo sharing app is not only important for retailers, restaurants, or travel companies as one of the most effective brand-building tools available today, Instagram is increasingly important for every kind of business. Instagram is now a hub where regular people find and judge the visual identity of a business. Without a strong Instagram presence, companies risk being ignored or forgotten, especially among the next generation of consumers. Among American teens, Instagram is actually considered the single most important social network. If you do take Instagram seriously, it can open up a world of opportunity for your brand. Forrester has named Instagram the king of social engagement, citing the fact that top brands Instagram posts generated a per-follower engagement rate of 4.21%. And that means that Instagram delivered these brands 58 times more engagement per follower than Facebook and 120 times more engagement per follower than Twitter. So you now know why your business should be on Instagram. Now we're going to talk on the how, or the walking you through the process of building an Instagram strategy, setting up your account, and best practices for your brands. So here we go. First, you want to create your Instagram strategy. And you want to do this by starting off by doing some research. So first, start using Instagram yourself and follow other people before you use it for your brand. You want to check out the best businesses on Instagram and other brands in your industry, including your competitors, both for inspiration and competitive intelligence. Once you're familiar with the app, you can begin to build your Instagram strategy. This strategy should mirror your broader social media marketing plan, which acts as your business's guide for social media activities. Now, first, you're going to need to establish your Instagram goals. These goals should tie back to your business goals, and they might include to increase product sales, increase traffic to your website, increase brand awareness, and increase branded hashtag mentions. The goals that you set for your Instagram strategy should all be achievable and measurable. For example, you shouldn't set a goal to increase your white paper downloads if you can't tie your Instagram activities to your white papers. This would be really hard, and it probably wouldn't work. But by creating goals that are measurable, you'll also allow yourself to track your progress, and I'll discuss that in a little bit. But there's a tendency here, or a practice, that I want you to kind of write down, if you will, and it's the word SMART. And SMART stands for, as it pertains to Instagram, it's specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's relevant, and it's time-based. So remember that acronym, SMART. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-based when you're identifying your Instagram practices. Now, again, once you identify your goals, you're going to want to craft a mission statement for your Instagram account. And a mission statement acts as a guiding principle for your Instagram activities and will dissuade you from treating the social network like you would Twitter or Facebook. Specific, in other words, keep the cats off of Instagram. Specific features of each social media network lend themselves to certain goals. In the case of Instagram, the network's power is in visuals, and your mission statement and goals should reflect that. The statement will likely take on a format similar to, we'll use Instagram for, and then list the purpose of this network, in order to help, and then list your goal. So maybe it's, we'll use Instagram for, and that could be something like, displaying new products in order to help our business grow, increase sales, etc. Now, with your mission statement clearly in hand, you can move on to your content strategy. And this will involve choosing how often to post, choosing what time of day to post, establishing a content calendar, and choosing your content themes. And I want to go back to number three there, your content calendar. Once you sign up for any social media, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, all of them, Pinterest, make sure that you are constantly updating your information. If you put out a couple of pictures the first couple of times and you don't see immediate results, and the last picture you posted was from last January, you may as well close the account because your followers don't care anymore. But if you're constantly updating them with new information, it's very helpful. 2 weeks ago, we took a picture of a box truck that was filled with trophies for a big karate tournament. And I used the caption, "Hey Sensei, we're on our way with over 800 trophies for your tournament." And we got so many people who liked that. And I don't know whether it was because, and we've asked a few people who did it. I said, "Did you like it because it showed we were busy? Did you like it because it was just a picture of a truck, you know, the inside of a truck?" And they go, "No, what was neat was that you tied into the fact that it was for a karate tournament, and I used to take karate, and I used to earn trophies." And then you tied in that the volume of this, you could imagine the size of the tournament with 800 trophies in it. And then, you know, you showed that one company is very busy and they had to rent a truck to deliver trophies. So that was all good. But establish that content calendar so that if you say, "I'm going to post information every 2 days, every three, every day," whatever you choose, that you're doing it on a regular basis. On Instagram, you should be maintaining a regular posting schedule, but you don't want to bombard your followers with too many posts. And most brands will release 1 to 3 posts per day. As for what time of day to post, this will largely depend on your audience. For both of these factors, frequency and time, it should come down to testing. So test posts at different intervals and times and see what works best. And this will depend on where your audience is located, including their time zone, among other factors. Then use that insight to establish a content calendar. And your calendar should establish who is in charge of the posting, when they'll post, and what the content will be. Choosing the themes and subject matter for your content is a big deal on Instagram, so I'm going to look at that in more detail here. Building your Instagram brand is all about the visuals, so you need to set out to build a cohesive, recognizable brand identity. How you approach your Instagram brand will be influenced by the strategy that you've already determined. So first, consider the visual style you want for your Instagram brand. Choose one filter or a set of filters that will use for the majority, if not all, of your photos. By using the same filters over and over, you establish a style that will become recognizable to your followers. Since your goal is to get Instagram users to stop scrolling once they see your image, in order to engage with it by liking or commenting, the more instantly recognizable your photos are, the better. Take a look at 33 Acres Brewing Company, which uses white borders and a very white color palette in the majority of their Instagram photos. Scrolling through their feed, the style quickly becomes familiar and you start to associate images that meet these characteristics with that brewery. Other mobile photo editing apps like VSCO Cam and Whiteagram and can provide additional filters or editing options to help you find your style. Photos that have been edited or filtered elsewhere can still be imported into Instagram as well. And visually, you'll also need to decide what content your photos will focus on. In some cases, the content will be obvious. A clothing line will shoot photos of clothes. A restaurant will shoot photos of its food. Not all industries have this luxury, but brands from these industries, from all industries, are finding ways to promote themselves through lifestyle content, which seems to connect well with the Instagram audience. Now, you don't have to be a lifestyle brand to post lifestyle content. Hootsuite is a social media management company. But they share Instagram photos with of their staff members, their dogs, and other and their offices, since it represents the character and the culture of their business. Now, if you're unsure of how to visually represent your own company, monitor the accounts of your followers. Look at what they're sharing and see if you can identify any trends, and then replicate the visual themes in your own content. An accounting firm might find their followers are very passionate about coffee or cars and share content from their employees which fits these themes. Or these brands could share their followers' photos, giving them full credit, of course, as a form of user-generated content. Marker company Sharpie uses UGC regularly in their feed, interspersing it with product photos to great effect. The use of UGC and lifestyle content makes these product shorts feel less obtrusive and salesy as a result. And finally, there may be non-visual elements to your Instagram brand, like common language or style for captions. A popular technique used by brands is the branded hashtag. And this doesn't mean simply using your company name as a hashtag. Don't do that. This is about finding a hashtag that embodies your Instagram brand and encouraging followers to share photos that fit that image. Brands receive the benefit of increased exposure to new potential customers, and Instagrammers participate for a chance to be featured on a brand's profile, as well as the prestige and the increase in followers that will accompany it. It's currently 12:43. When we come back, we're going to talk about the three key elements that'll make your business a success. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
And I'll be taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano. Glad you could join us. I'm your host and presidential candidate, Jim Gano. So we got to get used to saying that. And hopefully you will vote for me in 2016. I have no real plans to go to New Hampshire. My first campaign stop will probably be Charlotte, North Carolina on June 30th when I bring my son down for orientation at UNC Charlotte as he graduates high school tonight. So not going to be a big campaigner. I don't believe in wasting money. I just want to get the word out through these airwaves that we can make a difference in America. More than likely, we'll probably do this as a write-in candidacy, but we are taking this seriously as well. There are three key elements to making your business a success. Not everybody knows what they are. And I always say to people that when you're running your business, sometimes you don't have time to look outside the window and see how other people are running their businesses and be able to adapt it to your needs. So what are the key elements of a successful business operation? That is a great question, and I love it when people ask it. And I think another way to look at it is that once you've created a product or a service that has market fit, what elements are essential for sustaining that success? And a few come to mind. The first, you should be data-driven. Now, for many startups, Porch.com included, success begins through the development of a data-centric culture, both internally and externally. To build a really successful business operation, you need to know that you're going to be able to accurately measure your business beyond just understanding your key performance indicators or KPIs. Are you developing a business where key decisions are made through the use of good, quality data? And I believe in the power and the clarity of data and the vital role that the right data plays in making sound business judgments. You also have to have flexibility. Another really, really important characteristic of young companies and the people that are working there to build a successful operation is flexibility. Now, for a business to work, people need to be able to change, manage, and adapt to the many inevitable challenges that come up along the way. Sometimes that means holding your ground on an experimental idea or product, and other times it means pivoting and taking a road you have not traveled before. It could mean working from a garage or basement at your house for months and work long hours in order to stretch the runway just a little bit further. In any case, flexibility is what needs to be at the core of your company and is key to your longevity. And number three, you need the right people. You know, I would say that sustaining a successful business operation really comes down to the people. It's all about the people. You need to have the right people in the right roles at the right time. And for a developing company where success and failure hangs in a delicate balance of being able to execute efficiently, nothing can slow you down like having the wrong people along for the ride. I truly believe that a successful business operation and a successful culture go hand in hand. If you get the right people to join you, you will find through the ups and downs that journey really is the reward. At the end of the day, making your business great will only get you started on your path to success. There are many qualities and characteristics that must be honed and sustained in order to win in the long term. The key is developing a method that works specific to you and your organization so that you can develop it in a unique way and outperform and out-execute the competition. Love that. So, again, the three key factors, key elements to make your business is a success is to watch your numbers, which I have said on this program a million times. Be data-driven. The second is to be flexible so that as changes come about, you're able to adapt on the fly. And number three, the right people. And going back to that flexibility and adaptability, that's the one I think where people get stuck most often. People are resistant to change. They don't want they don't necessarily want to change. They don't want to it's uncomfortable to try something new. But if you have somebody who can be like a chameleon and adapt to whatever surroundings they're in, and when the boss says, this is the way we're going to do this now, on the fly, and they adopt it and adapt it, you'll find a lot easier transition and more success, quicker success when you have that. And those that resist, well, they're just kind of the anchor kind of pulling you back into port. So it's very important that all employees be adaptable to change in any business. Let's take a look. Currently 12:50. We're getting towards the end of the show, so just wanted to see if we have a couple of quick stories we can go through. And wow, looks like we picked all long ones this week. One thing that that a lot of people have talked about, I've talked with a few people who are interested in opening a new business, and when I ask how are you going to finance this, they say, well, we're just going to borrow from our 401k, and it may not be the wisest choice for some people. Now, when you're desperate for cash, borrowing from a 401k retirement account can be tempting, and there are real consequences for taking an early withdrawal or loan. If you're thinking about borrowing from your 401k plan or any lending institution, be really strategic about your borrowing, says Kim Jensen, who's a UBS complex director in Chicago. Understand why you think tapping into your 401k or borrowing money is important. Think about why you're investing in your 401k in the first place. It's because it's a very efficient way to save for your retirement. And most people have a long-term goal of not working one day, which requires significant assets to fund what could be a 30-year retirement. 401ks are one of the best ways to save for retirement, and this savings builds fast as you contribute up to the $18,000 annual limit. So take advantage of any company match and make annual $6,000 catch-up contributions if you're over 50. If you need cash, you're able to dip into the savings early. Each plan has its own rules, though, and it's important to understand these before tapping into this account. Now let's talk about a hardship withdrawal, and in fact, what is a hardship withdrawal? Hardship withdrawals can be used for medical expenses, to buy principal residences, tuition, to prevent eviction or foreclosure on a principal residence, burial or funeral expenses, and to repair damage to your home. You can withdraw up to the amount of your elective contribution, not including earnings or matching contributions. This money is taxed like regular income and subject to a 10% penalty if you're not yet 59 and a half years old. Also, additional contributions are generally not allowed for at least 6 months after the distribution. Now, if you run the numbers, taking a hardship withdrawal of $10,000 will leave you with $6,300 after paying $2,800 in taxes if you're in the 28% tax bracket and a $1,000 penalty. If you invested that money at 5% for 20 years, compounded monthly, you'd have about $27,100. So how do 401k loans work? You can borrow 50% of your account balance up to $50,000. Loans are typically repaid over 5 years, with longer terms allowed for primary residence purchases while foregoing any investment earnings. You pay yourself interest at typically the prime rate plus a margin of 1% or 2%. And when you leave your job, the balance becomes due in a lump sum, or it's subject to tax and the 10% penalty if you're not yet 59 and a half years old. Now, this loan doesn't have a credit check, and the rates are competitive, but consider if your budget has room to continue making contributions while repaying the loan. Now, should you take a loan or hardship distribution? Loans are generally a better way to fund a financial need than a straight distribution, depending on why you need the money. To clear debt, explore all alternatives before borrowing from your 401k. If you want credit cards, for example, look to negotiate your interest rate with your credit card company. If you're facing severe debt issues and on the brink of bankruptcy, the last thing you want to do is use this money to pay off debt, says Kelly Long, who's a CPA in Chicago. Your 401k money is protected in bankruptcy. A 401k loan only makes sense once you've worked with a credit counselor and exhausted all the alternatives and have a plan to solve budgeting issues. Tapping your retirement account is a last resort for medical bills. First, try to negotiate with the hospital or medical billing company, which won't affect your credit unless the bills go into collections. Consider a 401k loan only if you're unable to negotiate and can't afford the bills. College tuition might seem a worthy reason to borrow from your 401k, but there are other ways to pay and save for college. A 529 plan, for example, is a very attractive vehicle designed to help people save for education. You retain control of the funds in the plan and also receive a tax benefit. Your children are also able to take advantage of grants, scholarships, and loans as an alternative to tapping into your retirement. When you take money out of a 401k, that's money that goes against getting a scholarship, says Catherine Dean, who's the managing director of wealth planning at Wells Fargo Private Bank. Like people say, you can borrow for school, but you can't borrow for retirement. When buying a home, a 401k loan may make sense if the money increases your down payment to 20% so you can avoid paying mortgage insurance. Be sure that you're not overextended with the payments for your new house combined with the 401k loan. You can also take a hardship distribution of up to $10,000. And you can use your 401k to fund a business without paying taxes or penalties by setting up a rollover for business startups or ROBs. That allows you to roll over your existing 401k plan into a new plan that's established in your business. Once this is complete, you can invest your retirement monies in your new business. ROBs eliminate the need for small business loans and allow you to hold all the equity in your business. but these are complicated and are subject to taxes and penalties if they're not set up right. Depending on the business, your retirement is at stake. Most people who use this structure already have sufficient funds for retirement. They're looking to take a risk to do something new, said Dean. So just a couple of reasons why you should not borrow from a 401k ever. And I like the line in there, remember why you started a 401k. It was to fund your retirement, not what you want to do now. And I've heard people all the time say, oh, I tapped into my 401k, we took a vacation. I tapped into my 401k, we built an addition on the house. Absolutely the wrong reason ever to do that. Next week on the program, we're going to have the owners of Level 10 MMA Fitness out here in Flemington who are going to be talking about their business. And what we're trying to get across, and I've been working with them on their marketing strategy a little bit, is that this is not the Octagon. You know, yes, the name is Level 10 MMA Fitness, and there is kickboxing and other contact sports there. But what we're focusing on here is how to get fit and how to lose weight, mostly geared towards women. So we're going to have Lisa and her partner here to talk about that. And looking forward to having them in studio. As always, we're always looking for guests to interview on the program. So I would welcome any suggestions you may have. Or feel free to let local businesses know that this program exists and it's there for them. And if they ever want to, you know, come in, to reach out to me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, on my Facebook page for Jim Gannot, or on my Twitter account, JimGannot83. I'd be glad to get a hold of them and set up a time where we can interview them here. Wanted to thank personally and publicly my buddy and his son, Ryan and Russ Zabarowski, for helping me out. I had a neighbor who, her husband passed away a few years ago, and several of us in the neighborhood have always made sure that everything is taken care of at the house. We hired a lawn service and everything like that. And we had a sticky situation the other day where she couldn't get a hose bib open. And I went down there and I'm torquing on it and I can't get it open. And then finally, Ryan, who's studying plumbing at Somerset County Votech, he came over with his dad and a friend, and they were able to break that free, and whatever the corrosion was, they were able to break it loose and get the water running again. So I want to thank Ryan and Russ for stopping by on a Sunday afternoon and taking care of that. So I really appreciate that, guys. And what else have we got going on? A whole bunch coming up. I'm going to be off July 1st or 2nd, whatever that Thursday is that week, as I take my son down to the University of North Carolina in Charlotte. So next week we're going to have the guest from Level 10 MMA, and then I'll probably take the following week off as we get my son situated in college. And then we'll be back later in July for more programs and more topics. And I'll keep you posted on what is happening with the construction at Crown Trophy of Flemington, because pretty soon there will be a backhoe digging an 11-foot trench right through the middle of our store. So when you talk about business interruption and things like that, I'll explain how we're preparing for it and whether or not we do it right. In sports, in NASCAR, Kurt Busch won the rain-delayed and shortened Quicken Loans 400 race at Michigan last week. The teams have off this weekend, but will return to the track next weekend for the first road course race of the season at Sonoma, California. In the NHL playoffs, the Chicago Blackhawks defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning Monday night in the Stanley Cup playoffs and finals to become world champions in the NHL. In the NBA playoffs, the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Clippers defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers on Tuesday 105-97 to become world champions. Hoping we're still broadcasting here, as we just had a power failure here in the building. In Major League Baseball, in the American League, the Tampa Bay Rays, Royals, and Astros lead their respective divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in yours as well, when he said, never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best. Again, if you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGannot83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Gannot, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318